working it outside of life. Shall we turn then to our Bibles in Genesis 2 and verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than all beasts of the field that the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, He shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, He shall not eat of it, neither shall he touch it, lest he die. The serpent said unto the woman, He shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This will be the second last message on the work days of God. Next Sunday will be the 11th, and the last will be taking up some important things relative to the temptation. This morning we'll be speaking a lot on trees and leaves. Of course they go together. Here you have the entrance of sin. Who brought it? Satan brought it. He is behind every temptation. And here, of course, he tempted Eve. And he's behind every temptation. Remember, he even tempted the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 when he said to the Lord Jesus, Command that these stones be made bread. The Lord said, It is written, Thou shalt not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. That's one thing Eve had, that she should have used the word of the Lord. Christ used it 3 times over. He said, The intent of the devil, It is written, it is written, it is written. And that's the sword you can make good use of when you're tempted by the devil. And the devil also said when he took the Lord up to the pinnacle of the temple, Now cast yourself down, for he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And the Lord said, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then the devil taken him up to high mountains, so of all the kings of the world, in a moment of time, and he said, All these will I give thee. If thou fall down and worship me, Christ says, It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And that's our offense, and that's our defense as Christians, the word of the living God. Sin is when you're asked to do something. Rather, that's temptation. You're tempted when you're asked to do something. You sin when you do it. You can't keep Satan from knocking at your door, but you can help opening the door and letting him in. And oftentimes, Christians are tempted. Something is suggested to them. That's not sin, to be tempted. But it is sin if you do it when you know it's wrong. A man may come up to me and say, I'd like to pull off a bank deal. That bank down the corner looks easy. How about joining me? Rob that bank. If I hesitate, the longer I hesitate, he thinks I'm thinking in favor of it. But if I say no, I have no partner. Guam away. Now, I don't worry about robbing that bank. Why did I want to rob that bank? I didn't. It was suggested to me. But I objected immediately. You're wrong. The devil makes suggestions to you and to me. If we hesitate, we're on dangerous ground. We're picking it over. If we say yes, we've sinned. If we say no, we've got the victory. And so the devil is always trying to tempt people. Tempt them. And when he does, may you say, it is written. I'm going by the word of God. I want nothing of it. No. That's your victory. Trouble with Eve on this occasion was she made a mistake in even listening to him. He got her ear and he wanted to get into her heart. And he made a suggestion relative to the tree. Mine says, what God said, I shall eat thereof. What should she have done? God has said, there was no question about that. The first thing Eve should have done was to have gone to Adam. Call them immediately. And let Adam talk to the devil. But no, she got into a conversation with the devil. She began to listen, and that's exactly what the devil wanted her to do. And that's what the devil wants you to do, listen. He wants to get your ear, make some suggestions. And the worst thing she did was to enter into a debate with the devil. That was her mistake when she even listened to it. And her mistake was she took on the devil herself. Instead of calling for Adam, that's what God would have had her do. Is it any wonder that she sinned? God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He didn't say maybe. And the devil tried to get Eve drawn in there. And she made a mistake. She says, God says we can eat of the tree of life, and neither shall he touch it. God didn't say any such thing. He didn't say you should touch it. You couldn't touch it. She added to the word of God. The devil says, or lest he die, God says you will die. And here you find how the devil was tripping up Eve. We'll say more about that next Sunday, Lord. How subtle he was. And here he was misquoting the Bible and adding to the Bible, and so was he. And that's where we're on dangerous ground. Felix, instead of quoting the word of God exactly, the first thing is, if the devil tries to get your ear, put your fingers in your ear. Turn away. If you know a scripture, quote it. That's your best offense in connection with the devil. And so we have sin entered here. She took, she gave, she sinned, and she fled into the garden. Along with Adam, that she gave him, and they made fig leaves. Sin is the transgression of the law. Both of them transgressed. He transgressed against the spoken word of God. And that's where she got into trouble. What was the effect of that sin, the essence of sin? Guilt. Why did they flee? God had the custom of coming down in the eve of the day, evening, and talking to Adam and Eve. But not this time. And when they sinned, they fled into the garden. They were guilty. It's time to make fig leaf apron to cover them up. Yes, no person or no place is the same after they've sinned. That's true. The place was never the same. Eden's garden. Adam and Eve were never the same. They were happy up until they sinned. No one likes to meet a person that they wronged, or a person maybe they owe money to and can't pay. They don't like meeting those kind of people. There's a sense of guilt, and that was true with Adam and Eve. Guilt. That's the first time the human race ever knew guilt and shame, because they have sinned against God. I don't think Eve wanted to taste that fruit just because of its flavor. I really believe behind it all, it was because that was forbidden. God says you can have all the other trees, but that one, don't you take. Don't you eat it. What's wrong with that tree? Well, Eve got curious. Why doesn't God want it? Let's take of that tree. You know, curiosity is something. And here is Eve. And she's thinking, why am I denied? Why has God withheld from us that tree? Yes, something forbidden is the very thing that somebody wants. You tell your child not to do something when your back's turned, it'll do it. That's the curiosity in a child. One time there was a farmer, he and his wife were Christians, and they had a hired man there, wasn't a Christian, and they got into a discussion quite often about the Bible. And the subject of Adam and Eve came up. And, of course, he didn't go along with the fact that what they did was right, and the farmer brought out the fact, well, man can't stand temptation. He can't stand being forbidden something, hindered from doing something. Oh, he said, I can. I can. Well, anyway, the farmer's wife were going to go into town, and they said to the hired man, now, I want you to clean the place up and clean off the table, and dish it, put them in that place. But that dish in the middle of the table turned over, don't touch that. Don't touch that. And they left. Well, then they're gone, the man took off every other dish. And he wipes around that one. Why don't you want me to touch that? He got curious. Why don't they want me to touch that? What could be wrong? And so his curiosity got the best of him, and he lifted up, out ran a little mouse. Right away. He tried to get the mouse, but he didn't, because the cat took care of that. He tried his best to get a mouse. He couldn't find one. When the farmer came home, first thing he did, well, oh. So he couldn't resist temptation. That's the human nature. You forbid somebody from doing something they're going to do. And that's exactly what happened in the garden. God forbid them eating of that tree. And they couldn't keep from disobeying God. A cloud came over Adam and Eve. Their fellowship with God was broken. No longer did they walk with God in the cool of the day. And they were in disgrace. That's how bad sin is. God says, in the day thou eatest off thereof, thou shalt surely die. When Adam and Eve sinned, they died immediately spiritually. In other words, their fellowship with God was broken. And they were going to die physically eventually. They didn't die right away physically, they did spiritually. But not physically, because they lived 200 or 300 years and they got sons and daughters. You can cut a big limb off a tree and it'll stay green for quite a while. But then it'll eventually triumph, and the leaves fall off. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, they sinned spiritually against God. Fellowship was broken. But they didn't die immediately, physically. They lived quite a long time. But they eventually died. And another death, that is eternal death, that's a possibility. You'll die immediately. Sinning against God with no fellowship. You'll die eventually because sin is working in your body to bring forth fruit unto death. You may live as long as Methuselah, 969 years, but he died. And if you don't accept Christ, death eternal is a possibility. The lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone. The devil didn't tell Eve to go and sin. No, he didn't. But he insinuated in the most cleverest way that there was nothing wrong with going and taking that fruit and eating it. The devil plays down the seriousness of disobeying God. Oh, you won't have anything to worry about. You won't die. God is withholding something from you. Don't get it. He tries to imply that you're nothing to worry about by sinning against God. How the devil tells us that today. Nothing wrong to worry about. It's not that serious. It's that serious that you can lose going to heaven and be sure of going to heaven unless you get your sins forgiven. You know, when you think of it here, when Adam was faced with what had happened, he not only blamed Eve, he said, think a little bit. He blamed God. He said, the woman thou gavest me, she gave it. God says, Adam, you can't blame Eve for that. It's your responsibility. As in Adam, all die. All die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. And so, here you have sin, its entrance. Then you have its effect. Sinning against God out of fellowship with God and death working in your member. And now here you have sin's exit. Because God was able to make a provision for Adam and Eve when he made them coats of animal skin. Blood had to be shed. And so we find how God has made a provision for man in the person of his Son. You know, God tells us that the seed, the provision for our sin, is going to come through the woman Eve. He says, the seed of the woman, even though she sinned, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. And that was true. You have that plainly taught in your Bible. A woman shall conceive and bear a son, and I shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:14, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, he shall save his people from their sin. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Through the woman. Through the woman's sin came into the world, and through the woman's seed, Jesus Christ, sin, will be taken care of. Also Satan, he says in John, 1 John 3:8, the Son of God was manifested to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. And so, all because of sin coming in, how man has suffered down the centuries, all the grief, the sorrow, the suffering, the death, all because of sin. That tree had more terrible fruit. And yet God in his grace, he could have driven Adam and Eve out and let them die, which they would have done. That would have been the end of the human race. But God in grace said no. He He manifested his government dealings and he drove them out of the garden. But he manifested his grace in providing a Savior through the world. Jesus Christ came into the world. How wonderful God's salvation is. Now the lesson in the leaves. They laid fig leaves. Try to cover up what they've done. Well, that didn't do them any good. You know, there's a verse in the New Testament that talks about leaves only. The scribes and Pharisees, the Lord Jesus, was constantly debating with them. They were so religious, so self-righteous. And one day the Lord and his disciples were coming along and he saw a fig tree. Oh, the beautiful foliage, the leaves. They looked so wonderful. He went over and he lifted the leaves and there was no fruit. He crushed it and it died. He looked for fruit. There are people today that are extremely religious. The scribes and Pharisees were. Outwardly, yes, they appear beautiful unto man. The exterior, the foliage, wonderful, it's green. My, they're clean, honest folk, very religious. That was true of the scribes and Pharisees. But the Lord Jesus looks beyond the exterior. He looks at the heart. No fruit. And he crushed it. And the fig tree withered up. There are people today, they've got leaves over. An outward religion. Something on the surface. They're a member of the church. They may be standing in the pulpit. They don't drink, they don't swear, they don't smoke. They don't steal. All the leaves are lovely. They look good. But underneath, there's no fruit of the Holy Spirit. Christ said, I'll crush it. Your good works won't take you to heaven. God sees in your religious life leaves only. No fruit. And the curse will be yours. Leaves only. Then you find another instance about the word only. You find Jesus only. And that's remarkable over in Matthew. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. If all you've got is leaves only, you need Jesus only. Christ and Christ alone will save you, put away all your sins and give you a new life. His own life. Then you come to another and believe only. Leaves only, Jesus only, and believe only. It tells you that in Luke 8:50. And but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. He's talking to Jairus, and Jairus' little girl of 12 had died. He says, believe only. That's all you've got to do. Not work only. Not join the church. Believe only. Believe in what Christ has done on the cross. He shed his blood to put away your sins. And only as you believe, it was through disbelief that sin entered into the world, Adam, Eve. It's through believing you get your soul saved and your sins put away. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How wonderful these things are. Then he says, the word only. You find that over in Matthew 8 and 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. Four wonderful things. Leaves only. An outward profession. Jesus only. God's wonderful possession. A priceless possession, and it can be yours. Then you come to the next one. Leaving is God's way of salvation, a joyful confession. For you have the Word only, is a divine authority, God's marvelous revelation. Those four onlys, these only, are you in that class? Or have you come to see and know Jesus only? Through what? Believing only. Believing what? The Word only. Just His Word. We're born again by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Not the Word of men. The Word of the living God. Talking about trees, they're very interesting. And of course, trees were very important in the book of Revelation. And I was noticing the other night, I got my concordance on, the tree of life is found three times in Genesis and three times in the book of Revelation. And almost each case it's in the midst. And the tree of life speaks about Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And there was no withered leaves on the tree of life. And so a lot has to do with the trees. Now, when you think of Adam and Eve, you have them disobeying God. And what happened to them? Fallen sinners. Because of what they did concerning that tree. They disobeyed God. They took the fruit. They ate it. There you have the tree. And also Adam and Eve were hiding behind the trees of the garden. Yes. Many of them today are hiding behind certain things, hoping they can get to heaven, hoping God doesn't see them. They're hiding behind the trees. Hiding behind good works. Hiding behind the fig leaves and hiding behind the trees. There you had Adam hiding behind a tree, a fallen sinner. Zacchaeus, he was up a tree. A religious sinner. That's over in, I think it's Luke 18, 19. Zacchaeus, up a tree. He had to be brought down. And then God will have to bring you down. You're up the tree. Finding yourself in your exalted position. God says you're going to have to come down. No use being up the tree. Of pride, conceit, self-righteousness. And so Zacchaeus was up a tree, man's religion. Nathaniel, he was under a tree. And there he was under the tree, and the Lord Jesus says, Nathaniel, when thou wast under the tree, I saw thee. Nathaniel was under the tree. Here he is a convicted sinner. But then, I find Christ on the tree. What's he doing? Dying for sinners. If you have the one, Adam behind the tree, Adam and Eve, and Zacchaeus, he was up the tree, Nathaniel was under the tree, Christ was on the tree. Here is salvation for whosoever lives. How wonderful to have Christ. And fall through that one who was on the tree. And you have from the tree to the glory. A dying thief. He said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. From the tree to the glory. How wonderful God's salvation is. Here you have a saved sinner. We've noticed the others, fallen sinner in Adam and Eve, a religious sinner in Zacchaeus, and a convicted sinner in Nathaniel, a saved sinner on a tree. But he was. And he got his salvation from the man who was on the other tree in the middle. There's a lot in your Bible about trees. For instance, you read this in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that he being dead to sin should live unto God, that unto righteousness by whose stripes you're healed. And in Acts 10:39-40, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And again in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The tree is a wonderful thing. It's on that tree called Calvary, the middle cross, for they had to cut down the tree for that thief to hang on, and one for Jesus Christ. And it's through the man that hung on that tree that you can be saved, and saved forever. The remarkable thing about Adam, after what happened, he had hope. In verse 20, he called her name Eve, for she's the mother of all men. That's an amazing thing. Adam had hope that after all that had happened, there was still hope, and it was through Eve. And that was true. She's the mother of all men. But Adam couldn't execute that. It was God and God only, through his son, Jesus Christ, coming into the world through the mercy and going to the cross and suffering on Calvary's cross. That's the only hope of man's salvation. And Adam's hope in Eve was fulfilled through the one she bore. That is, through her seed. That's the hope of man. When you think of these trees, they're very interesting. Two trees, and they can be contrasted or compared. The first tree was planted by God. It certainly was. The second tree was planted by man. God planted those trees, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. But man planted the next one. And that was the one upon which Jesus Christ died. So God planted the first tree and man planted the second. The first tree was pleasant to the eyes. It says that. Beautiful, delightful. The second tree planted by man was hideous, repellent, butchery, murder. That's what that cross for God. That's what that tree bore. The mutilated, mangled body of the Son of God. Beaten, bullied, bleeding, spitting upon. That's not pleasant to the eye. And so the tree, the first tree, was pleasant to the eye. The second one was not. Then again, you have God, he forbade man to eat tree, the fruit of the first tree. But he invites men and women to come and partake of the fruit of the second tree, Jesus Christ. He says, pour everyone that thirsteth, come. He invites men and women today to come and receive Christ. All things are ready, come. God is inviting you to come to Christ. He's inviting you to accept his Son as your personal Savior. Satan tried every trick to get man to partake of the first tree, to disobey God. And he's using every subtle device to keep you from partaking of the second tree, the cross. He doesn't want you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you think of eating of the first tree, that brought sin, death, because of disobedience. Eating of the second tree brings life and salvation through Jesus Christ. Eating of the first tree, man was turned out to paradise. Receiving the fruit of the second tree, you enter into paradise. What man lost through Adam and Eve, you can gain what they lost because of what they did to that tree. You can regain through Jesus Christ the believing what he did for you upon the tree. He bore the curse of God on Calvary's cross. You know, there were two people related to the first tree, Adam and Eve. There were two related to the next one, Calvary, two thieves. One on the right hand and one on the left. One of those thieves repented and entered into life and paradise that very day. The other thief didn't and went to hell. The difference was in their choice. They had to make a decision relative to that man on the middle cross. The one saw what he had done was wrong. He confessed it. He appealed to Jesus Christ, the Savior. And Christ didn't say, no, you old thief. You've sinned all your life, you've cussed, you swore, you've murdered. You want me to save you now at the end of your life. You've got no life to live to please me. Jesus Christ didn't do that. He will save a person when they've only got an hour or two left. Yeah, that's grace. That thief couldn't work to save himself. He couldn't get baptized or join the church or bear the cross. That thief could only do one thing. That is, believe. And it was followed by confession. We indeed justified. We are receiving the due rewards of our deed. This man hath done nothing amiss. That thief was saved on grace alone, through the work of Christ alone. Not his own works, no church involved, no ordinance, Christ only. Christ said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The other thing. He listened to all that. He saw his buddy in crime get saved. He repented. He didn't. He went to hell. You're listening to the same message that will save precious souls, and many have been saved. And it's a sad thing to listen to this message when you've heard the same message that others heard and got saved. They accepted Christ. And you hear it, and you go to hell, because you wouldn't believe it. Here's God's salvation. What a story in trees and leaves. It all boils down to a decision. The decision that Eve made was a bad decision. The decision that thief made, one, was a good one. What is your decision this morning? Will you accept the Lord Jesus? Will you believe on him right now? You know you've sinned. You'd hate for anybody to know what you've done. God knows. And every sin you've ever committed, God will wipe away through the precious atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And he'll save you now. This morning, he said to the thief, I'll think about it, no. He said today, the very moment of that thief, send me the Lord and then believe and thou comest in thy kingdom, that was followed without a comma. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's how quick God will save you this morning. If you look to that man on the middle cross, bearing sins not his own, but yours. He who had no debts paid our debts by his precious blood. Will you receive? Will you accept them as your Savior? Will you do it now? That's the whole thing. Millions of people died and went to hell over these thousands of years who were almost persuaded. Now to believe. Almost persuaded. Christ to receive. Seems now some soon to say, Holy Spirit, grow thy wheat, some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. This is the most convenient moment you've ever had. You may not have another moment so convenient as this one to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. God help you to do it. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do come humbly into thy presence. We thank thee for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for all who have trusted him. May there be some this morning who will, for the first time, open their hearts and let the Savior in. And if they will, peace and joy and salvation will flow in to their hearts and they'll be saved. Grant someone may receive Christ today. We ask it in his name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing hymn number 376. Out to my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Will you come? Maybe you have. You haven't told me. Come and do so. As you stand and sing.